Hello and welcome to Travelogue. I'm William Forsythe. With me is my mother Sarah and my partner Jim. Jim and I will be getting married this coming Christmas in London, England. We're looking forward to that as a part of our Travelogue series. But today, we're going to show you some film that we took in Los Angeles, California. Hollywood, to be more specific. Or was it? Well, let's find out as we take a look at our Travelogue feature for today. William Forsythe's Travelogue. A presentation of William Forsythe Productions, solely responsible for its content. William Forsythe's Travelogue is brought to you by Nurbler's Cream. Sometimes you can't just sit on the problem. You gotta get up and rub Nurbler's on it. Hello, this is Dr. Wayne Pettibone, and many times patients come to me and say, I can't take it any longer, and I'll give them a can of Werbler's. I don't know what the problem is, and I don't ask, and that's what makes me a successful doctor. Werbler's Cream. Sometimes you can't just sit on the problem. Get up and rub some Werbler's on it today. Well, welcome back here to William Forsythe's Travelogue. We went to Hollywood, California, a part of the great city of Los Angeles. I bet you didn't know that. Hollywood is not its own city in its own right. It's a part, a section of the city of Los Angeles. So when you travel there and you're in Hollywood, you'll know you're in Los Angeles too. Also, the San Fernando Valley is, and that's where we went. I found a hotel online and I got a reservation for a hotel in the San Fernando Valley. This is Mother and myself and Jim as we're checking in. Now, those are two queen-size beds, Jim and I sharing the one on the right, and there's Mother in the waving to us in the bed there on the left-hand side. And you can see we have all the amenities. There's a coffee pot there, a television set, and a closet. Well, here we are the next morning, and we're waking up and getting ready to go to Hollywood. The man told us to go down this street, Nordoff, and just pick up Ventura Boulevard, and then you take Ventura Boulevard to the left, which my understanding was that's due east, and that's what we did. Here we are making it to Ventura Boulevard, and we're walking east. Well, we finally realized that we were having to walk a long way, and there's a gas station I'm stopping at. I'm asking the man there, how far is it to Hollywood? And he told us that it was probably another 20 miles or so, or 15, I don't remember. Mother finally put down that big pack she was carrying there. Mother wants to get a lot of autographs of a lot of movie stars. So you can see she's got lots and lots and lots of notepaper there, lots of pens and pencils and so forth. The man suggested that we rent a car. And I said, all right, let's do that. We turned around and walked back toward the hotel another 6 miles, 6 or 7 miles, to a car rental place called Hertz. There it is right there, the big sign. After the man rented us the car, that's us driving out. There's Mother waving and there's Jim waving. And we began our sojourn in the car. I began driving and it turned out I was going the wrong way. We didn't really discover that until we'd reached about 20 miles down Ventura Boulevard and we found ourselves at the 101 freeway. And I said, well, this can't be. So I stopped the car, and this is us getting out of the car, and we start walking back toward the hotel, because we thought maybe this would be for another day, that we were not having much luck finding Hollywood. It took us a couple of hours, but we made it back to the hotel. There's Mother with that big exaggerated exhalation. Sure, Mother, you had a great time. And she's carrying some of Jim's sports shirts, and she has my shoes there as well. Well, there we are going back into the hotel, and I'm giving that big exaggerated, you know, what happened? And the clerk is not too pleased with us, but I asked him, I said, which direction is Hollywood? He said, I told you to go down Ventura. And I said, yes, you did. But then we rented a car. And he said, well, why not just go in the same direction you were walking? And that's what we decided to do. That's the plan we made the next day. And so here we are getting some shut-eye, and I said, tomorrow we'll rent another car and go in the same direction we were walking, and you could see everyone agreeing on that one. Yay! All right. Very good. Well, we'll tell you what happened when we got our car and started on our way the right way to Hollywood when we come back here on William Forsythe's Travelogue. William Forsythe's Travelogue. be right back. I'm William Forsythe, and I've been all over the world. Well, at least I've tried to go all over the world. I think I've been to most places. I've been to China, and I've been to California, and I've been to South America. Many of the places that you and I would want to go if we decided that we would go and travel around the world, and we'd go to those places. And we've had a lot of adventures, too, on the way. Sometimes we've gotten there flying. Sometimes we did it by boat. Sometimes we walked there. And there's a lot of things you'll find out. The travel tips you'll find from the William Forsythe Travel Log will save you lots of trouble. You don't walk to Canada if you can drive, and you certainly don't drive to Canada if you can take a train or perhaps hitch a ride on a truck or something like that. And you don't hitch a ride on a truck or walk or take a train if you can fly there. And we'll tell you all about how to get on an airplane to fly places on our next edition of William Forsythe's Travel Log. Welcome back to William Forsythe's Travel Log. Well, the next day, Mother and Jim and I woke up. There we are getting some, and they had some wonderful coffee downstairs in the lobby, and they had those blueberry muffins that you see there. Look at Mother stealing the muffins again, Mother. And off we go. We had to rent a car, and I forgot that we'd left the car that we rented back at the other end of Ventura Boulevard. So I said, well, let's go and get that car. We're paying for it, aren't we? I still had the keys. So we began to walk down Ventura Boulevard toward that car. Jim was the one who said, well, it took us 3 hours. And I said, you're right, to get from that car to the hotel, and Mother agreed. So we kept walking until we saw anything that said car rental, and sure enough, there was a place right there. That's Sal's, and there's Sal right there waving at us. Come on in. And we rented a car for the day from Sal. And just to make sure, I asked Sal if he had a map. And he asked me, I've got many. He said, I have many maps. Isn't that right, Jim? He said, I have many maps. And he said, but which kind of a map are you looking for? I said, I'd like to find a map that'll show us how to go to Los Angeles. And he said, okay, here's a map here. That's a map of Los Angeles. I said, thank you very much. Well, we got in the car and we began driving, and Jim said, do you know where you're going? And I said, you know something, I forgot to ask that guy. Just because it's a map of Los Angeles, where are we on that map? And Mother said, you know what, Jim, you're always thinking. That's why I know Mother likes Jim. She probably likes him better than me. So we had to find out where we were, so we turned the car around and drove back to where I thought the hotel was. I overshot it by a couple of miles. I said, well, let's stop, and you guys stay here. I'll go and walk to the hotel or to the car rental place, wherever, and find out where we are on the map. About a half an hour later, I made it to the car rental place. I said, thanks, Sal, for the map. Where are we on it? And he pointed to a street called Shoop Street. He said, that's where you are. I said, thank you very much. I walked back to the car where Jim and Mother were, and I realized the car wasn't on Shoop Street. The car was on a street called Devonshire. It was on a street called Devonshire, and so I said, we were on Shoop Street. And Jim said, no, we're not. And Mother said, that's when Mother said, well, that's where the car rental place was. And I said, oh, yeah, you're right. I said, well, let's get in the car. It's better than walking. And we all agreed to do that. Mother started driving this time, and she decided to head in the opposite direction of where I'd been going the day before, which was to the west, and she decided to go east. And there it was again, that 101 freeway. And Mother said with her very famous flair, no time like the present. And onto the freeway we got, and we were sailing along the Southern California Freeway. See that? There's film footage that I took. There's this beautiful skyline. There's the streets and the houses. The skyline's way down there. You don't see it yet, but these are streets and houses. This is an area called the San Fernando Valley, which is where we were staying. As we drove along, we saw the beautiful, majestic mountains that were off to our left. And I wanted to find out what those were called, so I got out the map that had been given to us by Sal, and I looked to see where these mountains. There was the Santa Monica Mountains. There was also the San Gabriel Mountains, and mountains just about everywhere. So I decided, well, that's got to be the Santa Monica Mountains or the San Gabriel Mountains, one of the two. I came upon a town called Pasadena, and I saw a sign, San Gabriel Boulevard. That's when I said to Jim, those have got to be the San Gabriel Mountains, and he agreed with me. About that time, Mother said to us, Where's Hollywood? A good question. And naturally, the place we want to visit for our great getaway vacation and our adventure in Southern California. It turns out that Hollywood was now back toward the west, or back that way, as I like to call it, because I'm not really good with directions, nor is Jim, nor his mother. We asked the guy at a gas station that we found on San Gabriel Boulevard, where's Hollywood? He said, well, you go down the freeway there, and he gave us some directions that we ignored. It got very confusing, as I'm sure you understand. It was at this point I said to Mother and Jim, why don't we try to walk there again? And Mother said, but what if it's 3 hours away like the last time? I said, good point. Mother got behind the wheel, and we got up onto the 101 freeway and sailed back down the 101 freeway in the direction of our hotel, where we rented the car, and yes, Hollywood. I didn't see too much of the mountains anymore, but as we drove along, I looked and I saw a sign, Hollywood. Jim said, there it is. Mother said, there it is. And wouldn't you know that the great people of Hollywood have got a sign right there to tell you where it is. I said, Mother, get off the freeway right there. It was a street called Cahuanga, and we drove up that street looking for the sign. Jim said, well, it's up there to the right. So we drove up some streets along a mountain route to where we thought the sign was, but we kept hitting dead ends. And all they were little tiny houses with very tree shaded and very lovely, but I didn't see any movie stars or movie studios, and I was beginning to get frustrated. Mother said, why don't we stop and have some lunch? She had packed some lunch, some applesauce, and we also had some of her egg salad sandwiches. We also had the fried egg sandwiches that I made, and Jim contributed with his tuna fish sandwiches. We had a chicken casserole as well, some fruit, you always should eat fruit, bottles of water, which is always important, and some soft drinks. I like the grape sodas. We finished eating our lunch and packed it away. Jim said, why don't you let me drive? It looks like fun. I said, it certainly is. Well, at that point, as Jim began to drive away, the car stopped. It wasn't rolling anymore. We couldn't start it, and Mother said right away she saw the problem. We'd run out of gas. Well, stay tuned, and we'll tell you about the rest of our adventure going to Hollywood in California. And we'll find out what we did about that car with no gas on William Forsythe's Travelogue. William Forsythe's Travelogue here on the William Forsythe's Travelogue.
Man, I'll tell you, my dog, I can't breathe, I can't do anything. Man, get some time to put to bed the dogs.
You need Clavender. Clavender oil goes up the nose, into the mind, and clears everything out for the period of 48 hours that you'll need to begin breathing and thinking again. Clavender comes in three sizes. Miniature, extra miniature. I bet you thought I was going to say larger. No, miniature, extra miniature, tiny, and invisible.
Yeah, I'm really glad I could do that.
And with the invisible bottle, you just put the whole bottle up your nose. Kind of a joke, but not, it isn't, because that's what you do, but it sounds funny.
Clavender helped me and it can help you too.
Don't bother talking, Charlie. It doesn't help. Clavender. It comes in the little, tiny, infinitesimally small and invisible bottles by Burgundy. Welcome back to William Forsythe's Travelogue. I'm William Forsythe. Now we're in Hollywood, California. We finally saw the big Hollywood sign, Jim and Mother and I, but we run out of gas. Kind of a silly thing to do, but you can well imagine we were so excited to be in Hollywood. What could we do but just look at the sights? And actually, we hadn't seen too many sights. We saw mountains. We saw the tops of houses in the San Fernando Valley. We saw the big Hollywood sign, but then we saw just a bunch of houses and dead ends. So Jim started driving. The car ran out of gas, and Mother made the very correct choice. Don't let Jim drive again because the car ran out of gas while he was driving. And Jim agreed. So we got all of our stuff out. We got all of those ballpoint pens and notebooks that Mother's carrying for autographs. And also, of course, our lunch and our dinner. We packed a dinner and began walking down this windy road in the general direction of where we had been, back to this street called Cahuanga. We started walking up Cahuanga and found another street to go up, and we began walking up that street. Well, it wasn't long before we were very tired because these streets are very, very hilly. And a man came out from his house and said, may I help you? Because we were resting on his lawn. We said, we're looking for Hollywood, and we saw the sign for it. And he laughed and said, are you people kidding? And went back into his house. Well, No, we weren't kidding. I don't know what got him to just go back in the house, but I imagine he was looking for some kind of something to help us when a black and white car pulled up and it said Los Angeles Police Department on it. Very nice man got out of the car. He was a police officer and said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "We're with the William Forsythe Travelogue Show." And he said, "Please turn the camera off." And I did. And he said, "May I help you again?" I said, "We're with the William Forsythe Travelogue Show and we're trying to find Hollywood." He said, "Well, are you walking? Are you driving?" And we said, "We were driving, but we ran out of gas. Our car's right up there." He nodded and said, "Well, I tell you what, do you have something called AAA?" And we said, "No." He said, "Do you have the name of the rental car agency?" And I said, "Here it is, right here, Sal's." And he said, "I'm surprised he's still open." He went back to his car and radioed for someone or something, but sure enough, within a couple of minutes came a tow truck and it towed the car away. I said, "Well, all we did was needed gas. We just ran out of gas." He said, "I understand that, but you're blocking the road here and I can't have that." I said, "Well, what do we have to do to keep our car?" He said, "You can find it at this impound lot." Well, I said, "To heck with that," right? And we all agreed we would just leave that car in the impound lot, and the other car that we rented, we would leave at the very end of Ventura Boulevard near the freeway, and we will just walk to Hollywood. The first man we encountered walking down the road was pushing a shopping cart, and he had bottles and a knapsack in there and looked like videotapes. We said, "Which way is Hollywood?" He said, "Go down there and go down there," and he pointed the way, and sure enough, wouldn't you know, we're going down a street, and off to the right, mother almost has a heart attack. It says Hollywood Bowl right there. Jim said, "That's the Hollywood Bowl." I said, "Yes, it is. Look at that." We couldn't really see the Hollywood Bowl. We just saw the parking lot, but we saw the big sign, Hollywood Bowl. Right there on the sign, it said, "Coming this weekend, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Color Guard and the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Orchestra doing a selection of your favorites." I thought, that's very, very interesting. It sounds like a lot of fun. We ought to get tickets. And Mother said, "Well, we could, but we're going to be gone by Saturday. We're only in Hollywood for the day." We kept on walking down the street, and suddenly it got a lot more crowded, lots more cars, and lots more people. And there it was, Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum. And I knew we were in Hollywood because I had seen that in a book that I had read about Hollywood. Jim said, "We can't be very far from Hollywood and Vine." We were actually on a street called Cahuenga and Hollywood, and we began walking down Hollywood Boulevard to find Hollywood and Vine. We got as far as the 101 freeway again. Well, we kept on walking and found ourselves at Western, and it wasn't too glamorous anymore. We found out that we were walking out of Hollywood, and we were entering a place called Silver Lake, and there were a lot of bohemians and colorful people, but not the kinds of movie stars that we wanted to see. And so we turned around and started walking back. By the time we made it back to the original place we were in Hollywood, where the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum was, we were very tired. Mother said her feet were sore, and she began to take this pack off her back that was carrying the lunch and the dinner and all of her notebooks where she'd get autographs, and she put it there on the sidewalk. So we sat down on the sidewalk too. And it wasn't before long, we were all asleep. William Forsythe's travelogue will be right back. Do you enjoy our travelogues? I sure do. If you enjoy our travelogues, because I sure do, why don't you send away for this collection of William Forsythe's travelogues, all 15 volumes, very beautifully bound in plastic, and you can buy these for a song. Literally, just sing us a song and $50, and they're yours. William Forsythe's travelogue, the compact disc that no one watches anymore. Available now for a song and $50. Dial 555-55555. William Forsythe's travelogue. You bet. Welcome back to William Forsythe's Travelogue. Well, Mother and Jim and I fell asleep there on the sidewalk in Hollywood, right across from Ripley's Believe It or Not. And when we awoke, someone had stolen Mother's pack, which basically had all of our food and her notebooks. My wallet was gone, so was Jim's. And Mother's shoes were gone. She had a very, very nice pair of hiking boots. So we were barefoot, without money, without food. We needed to get some help. So we stood up and looked for where a policeman might be. We didn't see any, so we started to walk. We walked toward the area where Jim thought maybe Hollywood and Vine was. And then we saw a police car. We said, "Can you help us? We don't have any food, we don't have any shoes, we don't have any money. We want to get back to our hometown of Mung Springs in East Texas, which is where we do all of our production. The William Forsyth Production House is there. And the police officer said to us, why are you asking me? And we said, well, we don't have any money, and we don't have any food, and we don't have any place to stay. We thought you could help us. And he said, I certainly can, but technically you are vagrants, so get into the car. He took us down to the jail, the Los Angeles jail, and put us in a cell. Mother had to go in with the women. Jim and I were in a cell with five other guys. William Forsythe's Travelogue. Join us again next week for another story of the high times on the high road. I'm William Forsythe. I hope you enjoyed it. This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm Larry Grover, and this is Grover Time. Over the weekend, President Donald Trump told Fox News, I call the shots, you don't. You're polling many of your hosts. You're stabbing me in the back. Something's got to get done. I'm Larry Grover, and let's start talking about the President of the United States finally fighting back against these backstabbers at Fox and others that won't get in line and understand that he is steering this ship, okay, and no one else. Larry Grover here. And I thought it was wonderful to actually hear the president stand up for himself and say, listen, I call the shots. Finally, when you're a supporter of his like I am and you've been wanting him to fight back, and he hasn't. He's got off the cutie. He gets off the odd line. He puts a meme out or something. He tries to just kind of add humor to it, but no one wants to have any fun with it. They all want to be angry, and they want to be cruel and mean, and they want to be insulting. And I think we know who we are talking about, but you've seen all of them. Either it's on Twitter or it's in the other social media platforms. And now Fox News, which was a long time supporter of his, Fox News is now sinking the knife into the back. They're polling in the most absurd polls I've ever seen in my life, showing him below 30% support. He can't beat, he's head-to-head against all the Democrats. He can't win. Who do they think they're kidding at Fox when we know this is a very popular president? And now he's said finally what I've wanted him to say. Everybody's wanted him to say it. They wanted him to say it. They wanted him to say, just arm the colony yards.
Larry?
Yes?
First of all, Larry, you sound an awful lot like Kevin Conneal, Real Estate on the Line.
I don't know who that is.
He loses it like that.
I'm not doing it for any effect, Mother.
I know, but even though it's organic to you that you're very angry, you should know that there's another show on the Phil Hendry website where the man loses his temper and then has a hard time breathing. And
well, who says I have a hard time breathing? Who says that?
It just sounded that way, Larry.
I'm fine, okay? If I lose my temper, it is organic to me. I'm not trying to sell this Real Estate on the Line. Is that the show?
Yes, Kevin Conneal.
Okay, I'm not selling a house.
I understand, Larry. I think you have the purest of motives. But I just want you to know that people say, oh, you sound like Kevin Conneal.
Well, I don't care, Mother. I'm talking to the And so I'm not going to let that bother me. I am very emotional about the fact, first of all, I'm in full support of the president doing this. I'm excited about it. I'm happy. I was angry when I saw Fox News release the polls. I was angry when I heard Juan Williams and Shepard Smith and some of these others start saying negative things. I was angry when all of this was sort of coming together. You're asking yourself, what's going on? What's going on? For the longest time, they were supporting. And now the president finally said, I call the shots. And I went, oh, thank you. Thank you.
Larry.
Don't ever put your hand on me like that, Mother.
By the way, the man ahead of you on that show, that Warren Forsythe?
William Forsythe, what about it?
He had his mother.
He had his mother what?
I mean, he had his mother on the show.
Well, you're not going to tell me I'm copying him.
No, I'm not. I think he's copying you. I think he's copying you, and it's going to sound like, and I'm not saying you are, Larry, it's going to sound like you're copying Kenny Conneal or Kevin Conneal.
That's Kevin Conneal or Kenny Slagg?
Well, which is it?
Who are you talking about, Mother? I've got a show to do.
All right, I'm sorry.
For the president to finally say what he said, I think all of us who've supported him can say, finally, thank you. Finally, you're standing up for yourself, sir. People think, oh, he's being rude. He's standing up for himself. When he's cracking a couple of jokes. He's mocking a woman's looks. He's making fun of the intelligence of some black ball player. Who hasn't done that? But now, the gloves are coming off, and my president is finally saying to everyone, I'm going to call the shots during, and the, when, by the way, when he said I'm calling the shots, hold on, we got Margaret Gray.
Hello, Margaret.
Yes, hello.
We have Margaret Gray. You'll be in a second, Margaret, but I'm going to take a break and bring you in.
All right, but...
I'll be right back. Larry Grover with It's Grover Time.
I'm Gloria Grover. You're listening to my son, Larry. It's Grover Time.
Grover Time. Bond 5. Milkshake?
I thought I'd make one, sure.
Well, why not try Gabardines? This is a milkshake in a bottle. You don't have to do anything. No ice cream, no milk.
What about the flavorings?
Chocolate, vanilla, it's all right there. Grabardines, not Gabardines, Grabardines. Gabardine is a fabric.
Oh, okay.
I misspoke. It's called Grabardines. Now watch, I'm going to unscrew the top.
Oh, you drank right from the bottle.
Yes, I did, and backwashed. Now, here, you can have the rest.
Thank you.
Grabardines, milkshake in a bottle. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Drink almost all of it, then hand it to your kid's sister or somebody else with a lot of your backwash and spit in it.
You're angry, aren't you?
I am very much.
I'm sorry, is it your childhood?
Whew. Grabardines, get it in the dairy section. And welcome back, it's Grover Time. Larry Grover here, Mother's here, Gloria Grover, and Margaret Gray. Now, Margaret, let me just reset. Let's just reset. I said that the president was fighting back when he said that I'm calling the shots. He's saying, look, Fox, you know, aren't you fun? Aren't you funny? I'm the bad boy on the block, okay? I'll call the shots, not you, as to how these polls... You do your polls, but I know the people. Now you.
All right. First of all, he was talking about the debates. He was not necessarily talking about the overall presentation of Fox. I don't think even Donald Trump is so stupid.
All right, now let's not be pejorative.
Margaret, you don't need to do that.
All right, I'm sure Larry has never been...
I have not. I have not characterized the president's opponents at all so far, okay? Get me angry, it may change.
Oh, well, I don't want to do that.
Well, what is that? You're looking at me like I've got a limp...
Larry?
Mother, you're not producing. Go ahead.
Larry, what I'm saying is President Trump was not talking about calling the shots for the whole network. He was saying that as far as the forthcoming debates are concerned, yes, he would call the shots. He would say which debates would be assigned where. He would say who he was going to be debating, at least from the Republican side. I think you misunderstood that.
Well, I didn't hear him say anything, you know, about debate. I mean, I took the quote...
The quote was, if you looked at the quote included the line about the debates.
I heard him say, I'm calling the shots.
Did you hear it or did you just read the headline?
So what are you trying to say?
I'm not trying to say anything. He was not talking about calling the shots at Fox News. He was saying about the debates.
All right. Well, all right. Let's just go there. He's calling. What the president's saying is this. No more Megyn Kelly, no more of the, who's the other one, the Christine Carlson?
Gretchen Carlson, what's she got to do with anything?
There's been too much of this. Telling him what to do and where to go. He's finally standing up for himself and nobody seems to give a damn. Well?
Larry, losing your temper like that.
Well, I can't...
Larry, what does Gretchen Carlson have to do with it?
She was part of the whole cabal of those. All of those bitches did what they did to him. Yet another bit making a Trump supporter look like a sniffling basket case.
Thank you. I'm Larry Grover.
I'm Laurent Grover.
And I'm Margaret Gray.
This is The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. Hey, guys, it's Phil Hendry. And first of all, I want to thank everybody at Dynasty, typewriter, James Adamian, all of the actors, everyone there, all the audience members. We had a great time being a part of Election Clusterfuck 2020 was the name of it. And that was on Saturday night. And I was part of the low polling white guys, the 1% of the guys were getting less than 1%, like Steve Bullock. My character was, I don't remember my character's name, John Delaney. That's it, John Delaney. And there was Steve Bullock, and there was Jay Inslee, and there was Michael Bennett. And the low polling white guys was part of that. So that was a blast. Thank you for being there for us. And the other thing that wasn't my show was James, but and also it was great meeting Eddie Pepitone. What are you going to drop names to the whole thing? I'm sorry.
You're going to do BFP.
Right. The Backstage Pass. I want to encourage you to get a Backstage Pass subscription to our website. Why? You can be a part of the BSP family as we roll out this show, as the show morphs and continues to change. As you know, we are now doing these once a month marathons where we take one character and over a course of 48 hours play as many bits as we possibly can for you and make sure everyone hears them from our archives. We've already done, let's see, we did Ted's of Beverly Hills, we did Ted Bell, I think, right? We did Steve Bozell, we did an Art Bell parody collection, we did Coach Vernon Dozier. And coming up at the end of August, we'll have another one. We also have a Friday night chat session that goes for 2 hours. We sit and we talk about just about everything you could possibly think of. And we have 35,000 plus hours. It's getting close to 40,000 hours of archived material, not just from our days on the radio, which is the pre-2007 material, actually our days at Premier Radio, but we also have our days since we went digital, all of the podcasts we've done. We've got all of the video casts. We've got lots of great miscellany, the Hendry Home movies, we have TV and radio interviews, television pilots that we've done, and so on and so forth. We even got Hendroids, which is a video game. It's a goofy, kooky kind of a thing, and we encourage you for 1 month or 1 year to sign up and get a Backstage Pass subscription to the Phil Hendry Show website, and you'll be entitled to all of the groovy-ass stuff that you're entitled to, which is pretty groovy.
Yeah, it's groovy.
So go to philhendryshow.com, that's philhendryshow.com, and you'll see the sliding banner about halfway down the page where it says, get a BSP, that's Backstage Pass subscription. You and all of your family members, everyone within the immediacy of yourself, you can enjoy this over and over and over again. You may not have a life beyond this, but it's enough. Yeah, it is. It's enough. It's the next best thing to having a life, a subscription to our website. The best value online. Since porn.
Hello, everyone. This is Margaret Gray. I'd like to sing a song for you. This is from the Margaret Gray Songbook, Songbook 2019. And it goes like this.
On five.
Frank and I got married, moved to California, had a son. I hope I don't bore you. Then Frank started to make some serious bank. You'd think between that and his daily spank, he wouldn't have time for an affair, time to be unsquare, time to do the things that will make your thing rot off. And when Frank had the affair, it was STD time and his mind went over there. I tried to go and get it. The doctor said, forget it. Frank's gender confused. Aren't you amused? And now Frank calls me him. He calls our son her. But the good news is when he looks in a mirror and sees his big fat face, he says, who's she? That's right, my voice cracked. It's emotional. It's very emotional for me.
Frank Gray and Margaret Gray and Jason J. Delmonico, The Grays, this fall on CBS. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show has been executive produced by Phil Hendry, who's not here. We don't know where he is, to be honest with you. That's where we're... that BSP camera, that was pre-recorded. Anyway,
No, I'm trying to find him.
Don't worry. Wherever, if you know where Phil Hendry is, please let us know. In the meantime, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show has been executive produced by Phil Hendry. Yeah, sure. I was the one that did it.
I helped you do it. You know, General,
let's talk about it later. By Phil Hendry... For Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
I don't think it's right for you continually taking credit for this thing.
One time I took credit.